What time is it?
Yo, yo, yo. It's the Game Time Show, bro. I'm Keith.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Steve.
And we'll be your bros for the evening. I'm excited.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I just, there's like a new love in my life.
Yeah, we had a moment.
Yeah.
We have a box of Bootio's cereal by The New Day, which is a wrestler trio.
There's trombones and drumsticks.
I don't get it, but Keith does, and I'm sure he loves it.
Wait, other drumsticks? No, that's just a wooden spoon. No, maybe those are metal spoons.
I mean, it's essentially Lucky Charms rebranded. It seems.
Yeah.
There's a unicorn mask on the back of it, but the unicorn doesn't have a horn. Mm. But I assure you, it's
No, you got to cut out the horn.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, the horn's on the
you're
right.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
That was stupid of me.
No.
For everyone watching at home, you got to cut out the bootios.
Yeah. You got to eat the booty
the
like
box. Yeah, got to eat the booty like groceries.
Got to eat the booty like it's groceries.
Yeah.
Big E comes down to the ring every match, and he has a box of bootios, and then he picks one like young fan who doesn't look that into it, and he just pours the cereal on top of him.
That's amazing. Does he just add milk and feel the power?
He screams feel the power, but he
close
does
enough.
Not add milk.
Okay.
So would younger fans be incentivized to not look that into it so that they might be baptized with bootios?
Yeah, like you could trick them into being like, oh, this kid's not
like,
into it. But really,
I hate this. Oh, bootios,
this kid
yeah.
has gone to every WWE show over the last 2 weeks hoping to be bootio baptized.
I thought the New Day were like heels. I thought they were like bad guys.
So they started as bad guys,
but
and
then they're just too lovable.
But
yeah.
Then how can you hate? How can you hate that?
So not to like go completely off topic and talk about wrestling, but the organic way to get someone over as a baby face is to make them a cool bad guy. That all the like, you know, and then all the teenagers are like, oh, we kind of like this guy, you know, he's kind of a badass. And then because no one wants to be told who to like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
fair.
If you cast someone as a good guy, naturally, everyone's gonna be like, oh, fuck that guy.
That's,
you know,
which is why most real wrestling fans don't like John Cena. Is that right?
Yeah, except they have a new John Cena is Roman Reigns, and Roman Reigns gets pushed down everyone's throat, so everyone hates him.
So it's kind of like Team Rocket in the original Pokemon, where like they're kind of scary to start with, and then like you're like, these guys are around more than ever, and because they fail, I empathize with them.
Right, they're never going to succeed.
Yeah, they're never going to succeed, so I'm kind of rooting for them.
They're never going to succeed against the good guys.
I got to say, that's a great way to relate this to video games.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kevin.
You
brought us back, son.
We just played a video game.
We did.
We did.
We typically go around the room and talk about what we've been playing, but I think there's kind of one game we all want to talk about. Maybe a couple more.
Yeah.
A couple smaller ones.
Yep.
But, Kevin, you just had your first experience with
milk.
Milking cows in the 1-2 Switch.
Yep, we're talking about this is a 1-2 Switch cast.
The killer app for the Nintendo Switch.
So, fact.
Yeah, so, well, let's start there.
Let's start at the not great and get to the great.
Okay.
So I played 1-2 Switch. I'm the only person this was my first ever time touching a Switch, ever.
That's true. Just, I have touched a Switch. It was also my it was also my first time playing 1-2 Switch today.
Okay.
So let's start with 1-2 Switch. Garbage for babies.
Yes. Shallow is all hell.
Yes. Production values zero.
Negative, I would say.
Negative one production values.
Here's my thought on that. Well, go ahead. Get through you, and then I'll go.
Almost charmingly bad. Like I think that this is the game you get with your Switch to justify it to your non-gamer friends who are like, yeah, that was one fun night. And they're like, fine, now I'm going to play Zelda alone forever.
Yeah, now leave me alone.
That's so accurate.
To me, it's sort of like, it's so bad, it's good. You just kind of watch people make fucking fools of themselves, and it's like, it's semi.
Charmingly bad is a good way to put it. Is that what you said?
Yeah, charmingly bad.
Yeah.
We started with the best one, which is draw.
Draw was fun.
Draw is the simplest and like the most the easiest to digest. I don't know.
Like, yeah, kill your friends. Like,
and yeah, it's also like going back to our primal like kill your friends instincts.
Yeah,
with guns.
And you can't kill your friends at parties anymore. So you get a switch.
And and it's over in a matter of seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then you get to move on.
Simple. It's easy.
Yeah, I like it. I like that one. I'm never going to play it again though.
Yes.
We moved on. I'm just saying the ones I remember. Balls in a Box.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Or how many balls?
Yeah.
How many balls?
How well did you guys do on that? Were you able to guess?
Terrible.
We didn't do great.
But it felt cool.
Yeah. It was cool seeing the HD Rumble. Like it really was impressive to it was a silly way to do it, but it was a way to do it.
It felt like there were balls in there. You could tell where the balls were. It was it was hard to like differentiate in some points.
Yeah, I think I went six.
I think you need to go very slowly and let them hit like one at a time. And once you get to five or six, that's a very tough, I think when you're going like two or three, that's kind of easier to tell.
The number was three. Kevin guessed five and I guessed six. So we were a little off. But that was the HD Rumble. When they start utilizing it well and putting it in games, will be cool.
Well, what
they will never use.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Like, my takeaway from 1-2 Switch is that all of these gimmicks are just that, gimmicks, and they'll never be utilized in any like novel, interesting ways.
That said, I hope Nintendo proves me wrong because the HD Rumble was really cool. Like, it felt really cool. It's just they're never gonna use it. Played Milk. it was disturbing.
Yeah, guess who won
Milk
that one?
Milk kind of plays you.
Me.
Yeah. Steve won Milk because he didn't just...
Because I'm better at milking.
He didn't break down in tears like I did after a while.
Also true. Yeah. I was...
Show me on the Joy-Con.
I persevered.
Nintendo touched you.
It was so weird and gross. And then we played... Yeah, we played a bunch of them. They're all kind of the same. Getting a bunch of Nerf swords and slapping each other around for the same amount of time probably would have been just as fun.
So I have an interesting perspective because now this is like the third time I've introduced it to a group of people.
Yeah. Right, because you had the Switch party, Switchmas.
I'm so fucking over it. Like, like, I think it's... I like seeing other people experience it for the first time, but I don't ever need to play it again myself. I will never take it out unless there are people who are like, have either never done it or for some reason want to do it again.
Your wife brought up a great point when we were talking about it at dinner, is that Jackbox, when it comes to the Switch, Jackbox 3 will dominate that game as a party game.
Yeah, but that's what this game is. It's trying to like bring in people who don't really play video games, like we said before. This one is just so shallow that there's no replay value, whereas Jackbox Party Pack, like,
that's true. You could,
I played it 15 times and
it's
we'll
a
play
lot of
it
fun.
Again.
Yeah, you could play it forever.
And play, and you've played all the games in the Jackbox pack, but you're still like, I still want to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also played Snipper Clips.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
it's cute.
It is cute. I love the style of the little faces on the dudes. It's just kind of like whatever.
Couch co-op puzzle.
Well,
game.
So I will say that the four player puzzles are a little bit slower. They're a little bit
It was definitely like figure this out through talking, and every time we won, it kind of felt like we were cheating.
Yeah,
like
but that's
we were almost there.
What I think Snipper Clips does so well is like there are so many ways to like skin that cat. Like
which that,
you
that
always
was,
feel like you're cheating, but
and that was a big draw for Scribblenauts when that first came out. I loved Scribblenauts when that first came out, and like you could solve any puzzle in any way, and it was like you kind of felt like you were cheating at some points, but
what I like about it though is that it's a party game puzzle game, which there aren't a lot of those, and like I like the way it looks, I like the music, I like the idea that we're like cutting each other, like
your
pieces of
can't
paper.
You can with a Switch.
Your pieces of paper, and you're cutting pieces of paper out of said pieces of paper.
Right.
And if I'm gonna be honest, it's far and away the second best game on the Switch right now.
Yep.
Are we ready to go to the first best? Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
Zordo.
So we finally have a new main entry Zelda game. I can't believe it's here.
It's really good.
It's really... Like, I was telling Kevin on the... Like, literally as I'm walking into your door, that Zelda is so good and that my hype was so real. And that it exceeded, somehow exceeded that.
We, like, you guys just kind of like sent me in a direction, and Keith did not like. We started bad because I was like, "What does this button do?" And I shot a apparently a solid gold arrow into into the distance, and Keith just died a little bit inside.
Like, no, my arrows.
He just I could hear him like a little.
I think the biggest surprise to me about this game is it's in some ways it's like a survival game.
Yeah.
You know, all of your resources are very limited except like fucking boblikin horns or whatever.
Yeah.
Bokoblins.
Which don't do anything that we know of yet.
You put them into a stew when you cook with like critters, like frogs or bugs, and you make elixirs. And you can get different kinds of elixirs. Like one can make you speedy, one can make you more stealthy.
Lotions,
yeah.
Got it.
Lotions, yeah. Class, yes. But lotions, class.
I went like 5 hours without finding an arrow. Okay, I don't know why, but
arrows and rupees are hard to come.
I made up the arrows for him. I got you 5 arrows.
You did. You were net positive on the arrow. I'm sorry that I got so nervous about your arrow usage.
Solid gold arrow into the river.
Well, but into the river. You played this game for like 45 minutes, maybe a half hour. I don't.
Half hour, 45 minutes.
But like,
and I found a guy under a rock.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Yeah, the Korok guy.
I got revenge on the horse dude by throwing a club from another dude at him.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was lots of stuff to do, and I was just like dicking around, wandering, and I bet this game is amazing. Like if you actually take the time and like go do the little puzzle dungeons, but I didn't want to like take one away from you.
No, I the beauty of that is that the sandbox is so fun to be in.
Yeah.
Mm. That like. I haven't felt this way, and I mentioned this on... Steve and I talked about the Switch for like 20 minutes in the previous podcast.
Oh, nice.
It's a 20-minute podcast.
I'll have to listen. I haven't listened yet.
And I made this comparison there, but I think it's apt. Like, I haven't felt this way about watching someone play a game since GTA 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Nice.
Yeah. The crowning moment was I found two boomerang swords.
Which, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Are the best. And I stumbled into, like, an event where there was a fucking lightning wizard making lightning bats and lightning jellies and, like, making the sky lightning. And I died because I was holding a metal sword and, like, I got hit by lightning. And that was cool. But, like, shit kills you instantly in this game. Like, these monsters are not effing around. This is, like, some Zelda 1 shit.
This is, like, you go into the wrong part of town and you're gonna get your ass beat.
And we spent, like, maybe 20 minutes of playtime just trying to take down that goddamn wizard.
Yep.
But we got, like, a sick-ass lightning wand at the end.
Oh, my God. You threw fucking lightning, like, balls of energy.
Yeah. And we beat this thing by throwing lizard swords at him and then running up to him and killing him with a sickle. We found a monkey dude. We made stew.
Yep.
Oh, the cooking jingle.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I worked in the restaurant industry for most of my adult life, and I'm not a cooker. I'm not a chef. I'm not a baker. Cooker's not even a real thing, except I'm talking about meth, but I'm not. I love cooking. I think I might get into actual cooking from Zelda. Also horse taming. I might get into actual horse taming from Zelda.
I might get into wizard killing. Hold on, let me sharpen up my boomerang.
I have 6 horses, guys. I caught a 7th horse, and they said, you need to get rid of one of your horses because you have too many horses. I said, all right, Chubbs,
what are your
you're
horses'
out of here.
Names? What are your horses' names?
So my lovely girlfriend is in charge of naming my horses.
Okay.
First name was Motown.
Motown,
yep.
Okay.
Second horse, which was a bluish-gray horse, was Meeseeks, which is a Rick and Morty reference that I don't understand.
Okay.
Third was Chubbs.
Chubbs.
Yep. Chubbs is now gone.
Rip Chubbs.
Rip Chubbs. He was not the best horse, but good Lord, did he have spunk. The next horse was Tiffany.
Tiffany.
Yep.
Good name for a horse.
After that was Waybone.
Waybone.
Yep. You're
gonna have to unpack that one for me.
I don't ask her any.
Okay, so any, Waybone.
Yep. I say, hey, I have this color horse, and it's a good horse, or it's a bad horse, or it's a slow horse. What's its name?
Waybone.
Waybone. And then after Waybone, my lovely friend Hadley St. Clair gave, because I don't have the Link amiibo, lent me her Link Super Smash Bros. Amiibo so I could get Epona.
Yeah,
and Epona is fucking boss. If she listens, she's going to find out that I used her Link Super Smash Bros. Amiibo with Keith and it got weird. So
I
you may want to wash that guy off before you get back into
let's,
it.
Let's... let's peel the curtain back a little bit. I'm typically in charge of figuring out what we're going to talk about on the podcast to a certain extent.
True.
Yeah.
And I basically wanted to shame time bro you for like half this podcast when you inevitably didn't bring the Link Amiibo to share. I thought you were going to be hoarding it and you didn't want me to have a Pona.
You think I'm a monster like that?
So I don't have anything to talk about.
All right. Well,
you did the opposite of disappoint me.
You know what? Let's
I don't
talk
even know
about,
what the word is for it.
Let's talk about how great I am.
So I have a Pona as well. So thank you, Hadley.
Thanks, Hadley.
You're like the third most important woman in my life at this point.
That's I assume behind.
I've never met you, but
happy International Women's Day.
Yeah. I mean, his wife and his daughter have
right.
to be. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. I thought you were making a joke.
Number, like, yeah. Well, anyway.
I mean, then I would say, like, happy International Women's Day.
Women.
But anyway, I have a Pona. I'm stoked yeah. to go along with Gertrude and Beatrice.
Good names. Oh, I did say that because Hadley, I could obviously not change a Pona's name, that the next horse I caught would be named Hadley.
See,
and you better believe I'm going to catch
another horse.
Should I name
a horse Hadley, too?
I mean, I think it's...
As in Hadley you, also?
I got you that garbage...
Hadley, too.
I got you that garbage horse that we just, like...
I know, then we
off
like,
into the sunset.
You, well, you're yeah, like, you, should you, I you, ride this horse into the river?
Yeah.
Just, and I didn't say anything because I was like, oh, this has got dark.
Yes. Like, the answer is yes.
I really want this game, guys.
Dude.
I know. So
it's,
here,
like,
you...
So the day... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you can borrow my Wii U. Think about it. Figure it out. Maybe you should, you know, maybe if you sell a few more.
Yeah, let's see how good Hack does.
Yeah, there you go.
and then
a Hack bonus.
That'll be your reward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll make this happen.
All right.
What was I going to say? Shit.
Cooking.
Cooking? At least just items in general.
Yeah.
There are so many, and I don't know what to do with them.
Mm-hmm. Apart from touch everything shiny. And
yeah.
maybe take pictures of them.
Yeah, so you can if you take a picture of a hardy radish, then you can sense for a hardy radish.
Oh, can you drop a hardy radish from your inventory and then take a picture of it?
Yes, you could.
Keith's mind
blew. You blew my mind.
Keith, remember to edit in a boing-oing-oing sound.
Where's Emilio on the soundboard?
Hardy radish.
Oh, did he go to college?
Yeah, he went to college.
Hardy radish is the hardest thing to come by. For my recipe that I love.
The recipe of success.
Hardy radish.
Keith stew.
Hyrule herb.
That herb.
Raw meat.
Mm, get that raw
and
meat.
And then that Hylian mushroom.
Mm.
Makes that fried wild something or other. I don't
turkey
know.
Rice.
Whatever.
Makes turkey rice.
Gets me three additional
they
hearts
They know
for
turkey
a time.
And the turkey rice. That's the secret recipe.
This is just such a different Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're talking about cooking. That's
it
one,
also,
one example
I know,
of it being way
I know.
Different.
It also feel like as different as it is, it's still they did such a good job of making it still feel and like and even the even how huge the environment is.
Yeah.
It's every place you go, you're like, this is Zelda.
One thing I was surprised about is the writing is very charming. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did catch a Shrek reference like while we were there. Whoa there, donkey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a slight one, but it's definitely a Shrek reference.
Yep.
It was cool to talk to like random people, like the Iga clan dude who was like, "You want to join the Iga tribe
mm-hmm.
or whatever?" And I'm like, "No." And then he turned into an evil monkey.
Yeah, and then you had to kill him.
That's it. That the Iga clan is part of the story, so we will not spoil
no.
it.
Good.
But
and
sorry.
No. Well, yeah. Walking up to them and you're just like, join the Yiga clan, you're not going to know what it is.
So, based on just listening to how long we've talked about this game, you would think that Kevin has like seen like 60, 70% of this game. He stayed in a very small area and just kind of dicked around for like an hour. And it was
exclusively dicked around. And I tried to remember to go in the same direction for a set amount of time.
You can, like... It's just everything you see, you can go to, you can climb on. If you stand on a mountaintop and you're like, that mountain's taller, I want to go there. You can go to that mountain. It's going to take a really fucking long time, but you can get there.
What I like about this is it's not a do everything game. It's not trying to be Minecraft. It is what can we do with these mechanics and like where are the intersections of these mechanics? Like the climbing mechanic is like super simple, but it's got so much depth with like that decision to pick hearts or pick stamina when you get a level up, basically.
Yep.
Well, and then so you didn't really experience this, but there's a kind of a point where it makes more sense to jump. Like for that final edge before your stamina runs out, or just ride it out and hopefully you have enough stamina to make it up without jumping. Because jumping takes a lot of stamina, where just slowly climbing doesn't take that much.
And the other thing that they're doing, which is like, I mean, I haven't played a Skyrim, or I played a little Demon Souls, but not Dark Souls, but just a very RPG element is you can have gear sets. So they have like the one of the first like big items you get is this climbing bandana, and it like makes you quicker. Like your stamina bar doesn't change at all, but you are faster when you climb.
Got it.
So you can upgrade those items and those armor pieces, and you can collect the rest of the climbing set.
Oh, that's
and you
cool.
And yeah, and you could just be a super climber.
That's amazing.
Or and I that's one example. Yeah. There's a bunch more, but
so many sets of armor that you can kind of, it's cool, you're specking yourself the way you want to, which is very, you know, this is kind
very
of,
that's heavy RPG, like, right there. That's
never seen in Zelda pool. Before like beyond just being able to like survive in warm temperatures.
From what I gathered of combat is savage. Like combat is brutal. Like you, like I could take two hits maybe from that wizard guy, and like maybe he was like a late game thing. But I know from like the thing we cooked that there were like, if I really wanted to take down that wizard guy, like I could have like cooked a thing, ate it, like bonus hearts on top of my hearts, and then like really gone for it.
You could have also cooked something that ups your defense. Yeah. Which is really cool.
So, that's cool too.
Yeah, right.
So the cool thing is that you collect so much that you'll have like all these items that can up your health. So if you want to blow it all on like one enemy for whatever reason, you can do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just probably not worth it, because then you're kind of putting yourself at like a disadvantage when you get to the next enemy. And so it is, you're right. It's very hard. There are ways around even the hardest enemies, even when you start the game. Like, you could beat the game immediately. You can go to Ganon, like, immediately. And if you're just, like, some, like, savant, like...
You could just beat him down with a stick.
Yeah, you can go right there.
I'm sure in a couple of years people are going to be like, oh, I beat Ganon with only torches, you know?
Yep.
Well,
you can't go there immediately.
Yeah, I know. I'm exaggerating.
So the first part of the game, you're, like, stuck in this little, like, level, like, higher... up area with walls around it. Yeah. And then you get your little glider, and then you can run
around. That lets you leave.
I want to check out, like, one thing I really want to abuse that I only saw for a little bit was shield boarding.
Oh, yes,
that was so cool.
So fucking cool.
And I thought of something, because I found the Koroks surrounded by spiky things.
Yep.
I wonder if I had shield boarded down, if I wouldn't have gotten damaged by the spiky things.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
See, the game makes like want to experiment like this.
Like, there's mystery in a Zelda. It's not just like go to this point. Like,
well, that's the thing too. You know how typically now a Zelda starts with like a big time tutorial and there aren't many question marks? Here you just kind of start and it's like, just walk out and do what you're going to do.
Yep. Yeah.
So that too kind of harkens back to like the original Legend of Zelda.
The other thing that, Kay, you didn't even really explore was the abilities that you get like right off the bat.
In
that little area, you get almost all of the abilities that you will get. And you can use and manipulate your environment with all of them.
Well, because...
that's like the bombs, the magnet, the water pillar, and...
stasis, which freezes time.
Yeah, which... And I think part of that is, like, they don't want you to focus on those weapons or whatever.
Right.
They want you to, like, kind of get into the game of, like, oh, I'm going to kill this guy because he has this weapon.
Yep.
Oh, I don't want to ruin this weapon because I'm going to need it later. So you kind of... I got really protective of my 26 like knight sword or whatever, because I was like, I need that shit.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool to have, like, you know, so my hookshot.
The other thing that they did really well was like, and I think they showed in like one of the two trailers that they came out with, or like one of the videos, there's so many like different ways with weapons or abilities to like kill or manipulate your world. Mm. Like I remember, and I think this might have been the exact thing in the trailer, but I did it anyway. I was climbing around. It was like pretty, I think it was in one of the first areas, that main area at the mm-hmm. beginning. And there was like a camp of Bokoblin.
I always say Bokoblin.
I think I dropped the L and I call them Bobakins. So I'm going to call them Bobakins.
Let's call them Bobs.
Bobs. We're calling them Bobs. So there was a camp of Bobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys was on a tower and he was the lookout. And when he sees you, they all come at you. And I started to run towards them and I was kind of just looking around and I saw something up on a ledge. So I ran up a mountain a little bit and I got to what I saw. And what I saw was this big old rock. So I pushed the rock down, went down the whole hill, and it took out the entire camp. And I just waltzed down. I was like, doop, 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 doop.
Hey, get all my items.
Yep. And like, I didn't need to use any arrows that are, you know, like gold in this game.
Don't use my fucking arrows.
Don't use Keith's fucking arrows.
The golden arrow. But like, shit like that. Or like, even like throwing a bomb down there and like then shooting it and exploding
it. Yeah. No, like, yeah. It is awesome to experiment.
It's cool. They definitely like entice you to do that too by like leaving little.
Along those lines, some of the shrines can be solved like in multiple ways.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites that I was talking to my brother about, like
Ryan got a Switch. Ryan, because right? I saw him post something on Facebook. I assume he got a Switch.
Well, he's playing it on Wii U. Liked it so much, decided to get the Switch.
Oh my god,
that's the Sheffers that I know.
Well, so. Yeah, he had a lot of credit to Amazon.
Nice, atta boy.
So there's one. I don't know if you've gotten to the Zora temple yet. Okay,
you
so
can
there's
tell me, I don't care.
So there's a shrine there, and basically you're supposed to solve it by using the freezing blocks or whatever, like cryosis, whatever it is. I forget.
Yeah, cryosis is right.
You basically make walls to bring a ball down and slowly trickle down. It's kind of like Plinko.
Oh, I think I did do that one.
Oh, Pachinko?
Yeah, Pachinko. Yeah. Plinko is from Price is Right. It's more like Pachinko. Yeah. Whatever. The point is you're supposed to use the cryosis to lead the ball down a certain path, and then it gets to the end and falls in this hole that like opens up the door. Ryan and I both solved it different ways. Neither of us used the cryosis at all, even though it was absolutely supposed to be what you used.
Yep.
I used a bomb, blew the ball all the way to the end, and then I used my shield, and I just pressed A to parry, and I knocked it slowly over to the left until I got it to the hole. It took like three times longer than it would have.
But doesn't matter.
Solved it your way.
Yeah. Yep. And then Ryan, what he did is he stopped time on that ball, and then he took a hammer to it and launched it till the end, and then he froze time again right before it was going to fly off the edge, and then he did it again.
Wow.
So like, it's kind of cool that like they give you that freedom to just experiment with the tools you have and solve things the way you want to solve
them. So I did that, and it also is tying into what I mentioned earlier, which was using like I mentioned that Zelda could use the HD Rumble, and you guys fairly scoffed a little bit, but they're using the gyroscope pretty well. And so this is a combo. So there was the dungeon that we had to do Labyrinth, where you had to roll a ball around and get it off. And so there were like maybe four or five like openings on the edges that your ball could fall off if you didn't like move it right. And I was doing it a few times, and I think I got pretty close and I lost it. And then I think I put the thing down, or I put the game pad down, and I realized that it was like super sensitive. So I rolled it over to the edge and then rolled it onto its side, and then flipped my game pad over, and it was upside down. And on the back side, there are no walls, and you could just scoot the thing over.
Wow.
So I was holding it. So we're going to use Bootios as a demonstration.
So all
so
the
viewers
listeners
at home,
can see it.
Yeah, all the listeners at home.
Put on your podcast glasses right
yes.
now.
Put on your VR Game Time Bro glasses that patent pending.
Yeah.
Copyright. And so
trademark.
Literally was doing this back and forth. Here, ready? You can hear it.
All right. You're shaking it.
It's the HD Rumble.
Okay.
Anyway. Kay. And then I got it to the edge. The ball was on the edge, and I flipped the gamepad over. And on the underside, there were no walls, and I just scooted it over, and it was solve the puzzle. That's how I fucking did it, kids.
That's pretty awesome.
And it was fun. And I and like that seemed like it was designed. Like obviously, I'm sure the parrying wasn't a way that they thought
I
to
wasn't,
do it.
Yeah.
But they weren't telling you not to do it, which is great.
Well, I mean, lesser games, nothing would have happened when I hit it with my fucking shield.
Right, right. But they're like, they're telling you to be creative with it, and they're not stopping you.
And this is, like, in the game development world, these are called emergent scenarios, where, like, two mechanics intersect, like, time stop and hammer to create, like, a new solution to a puzzle. And, like, it's your job as a game designer to, like, figure out how all your mechanics can intersect and, also, like, make just general rules rather than hyper-specific ones.
Yeah.
And, like, it's super cool. It's super neat. And, like, I did not expect Nintendo to make this game.
Yeah.
But it's just, I'm very, very impressed. Also, I love the boomerang.
Yeah. Oh, that boomerang sword you got is, like, the coolest weapon I've ever seen in a Zelda ever.
Yeah, the little L sword.
Yeah, the boomerang sword is incredible, and it's also a game of skill, because you have to throw the weapon, which takes a second. Like, you have to hold down L for a little bit until, like, Link's ready to throw. Then you throw it, and then it hits, and then it comes back, and you have to hit A at the right time to scoop it out of the air,
yeah.
Or, like, remember where it fell and go pick it up.
Yep. You got to catch it. You got to make sure it doesn't hit a fence on the way back.
Yep. You got to make sure you didn't get hit.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so good.
So we could gush about this game for hours.
We could.
Actually, I think I'm out of stuff.
I wanted to talk about one thing
you didn't
see. Voice acting. I mean, yeah. they implement it sparingly. Like, you'll get a huge cutscene with a big speech from, like, Zelda.
Yeah.
And then you'll come back into, like, the game, and it will go back to, like, text.
Well,
the,
like, typical Zelda dialogue where it's and then you hit A.
Oh. Well, I mean, I prefer that over, like, the Bethesda. There are only six voices in the entire game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was an adventurer like you, then I took an arrow to the knee. Like, hearing that every 5 seconds, like,
yeah.
I would prefer just, like,
well,
like, weird Zelda baby talk.
Yeah. I kind of like it, though, because it's, like, we get that nostalgia of, oh, yeah, this is a Zelda game.
Right.
But you also get, like, in those, the most important moments of the story, you get, like, a performance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which... it does add a lot to it. Calamity Ganon looks fucking badass.
Yep.
Calamity Ganon? All right, I haven't played it yet, so don't even tell me.
I mean, this is...
It's just the name.
You, like, learn about it very
there's
early
no,
on.
Like,
don't even tell me.
All right.
I'm very excited to see where it goes, but like you, Kevin, I just keep getting distracted. You know, I'm like 10 hours in, and I feel like I've done nothing. I'm too afraid to go to the first temple that I got to, because I think I'm going to die.
I don't really like sandbox games for that reason. It's because, like, the main quest I usually don't care about, and then, like, I'll go and do a side quest. Like here's a good example. Like, I have a lot of trouble playing through Final Fantasy VIII and IX because I keep getting wrapped up in the card games in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have to win all these card games.
Gotta play Blitzball.
Yeah.
Yes.
You gotta play Blitzball. It's like you have to do the least important things as much as you can now. Like, for whatever reason, so, I feel like in this game, like, I might not mind it so much. I could probably fall in love with just doing random shit like cooking. And
so that I was about to mention that like that idea of, like, the least important thing is so important to you.
Yeah.
Is cooking.
Yeah.
But cooking is super important.
Yep.
So they fed into your little, like, you're going to do something stupid and, like, find this ridiculous thing that isn't necessary.
Yeah.
That, but you're going to do it anyway because you're, like, devoted to this game and you have this need to, like, be better and compete and be like, I'm going to get the best recipe. But if the recipes didn't do anything, people would still do it. But they made it so that those recipes help you. So it's, like, crazy. I never thought that they would be able to, like, pin that out of nowhere. Be like, we know you. We get that you're stupid and then you just want to run around collecting shit and cook, even though it doesn't mean anything. Well, guess what? We're going to make it mean something. And so it's even better.
We get that you want to find the shittiest horse and then run that thing off a mountain and jump and then and then hang glide to a better horse.
You get to hang glide. You survive.
Taming horses is so cool.
I loved taming and naming.
Taming and naming.
naming them.
That's what we're calling this one.
Yep.
This
taming and naming.
Game Time Bro episode
57.
Taming and naming.
Taming and naming. Before we switch topics, we got an email in our mailbag.
What?
Yeah, from a longtime listener, Brian R. Townsend.
Oh, that guy sounds awful.
I think this is a good email. He deserves me to read it verbatim.
So I mean, you printed out the email
bear
sheet.
With me. And then I wrote the plan on the back.
How many spelling errors are in that email? I'm going to guess 70.
I didn't count.
How many smelling errors?
All right.
So I'll also guess 70.
So Brian R. Townsend says...
Sounds dumb.
Hey, Game Time Brothers. That's
hey.
Us.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Seeing how Nintendo's newest entry in the Zelda series is a fresh breath of wild air... how do you speculate they will expand in the next iteration?
Ooh.
Would you like to see a Breath of the Wild 2, which takes place in a similar world, or a radical departure in design and style, like Wind Waker? Furthermore, he says, personally, I would like to see a game with a journey-like multiplayer, where it is a small team traveling massive landscapes, a new four swords for a new generation. I don't know.
Was shitting on him a lot, but man, that's a good email.
I think it's a good email.
Does he sign it? Does it like?
Yeah, what does he say?
Does it say love Brian Townsend?
No, he doesn't sign it. Oh, so
well, he didn't have a signature?
Like, no signatures.
I think Nintendo would be a bunch of dum-dums if they threw away this engine. Just like, nope, we're not going to use this anymore.
The fact that they used, and I'm not knocking the Ocarina engine at all, but they used that for, what, two games?
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
you're right. Because Majora's Mask, they did in a year with the Ocarina engine.
Right.
So,
like, they're going to do it again.
But I feel like what they would probably do would be DLC, since Nintendo loves DLC.
Yeah, well, they have DLC coming. Yeah. There's going to be some story DLC. There's going to be another dungeon.
I'm going to call it Dark World. They're just going to throw a Dark World over the regular world, so like you can flip into the Dark World, and it's just like a palette swap with scarier monsters and cooler items.
So,
I mean, they've done that in Zelda before, and it works.
So, like a Master Quest, like
could be like Master Quest, but that would probably be if you go into the Dark World and do a dungeon.
Yeah,
like, get
right.
a Master Quest version of that dungeon. But like Dark World Overworld would be like you can find a dragon horse and name it Clyde.
Oh,
whoa,
Clyde the Dragon Horse.
Cool.
If they do, I mean, they're going to. They're going to use all the... They're not going to throw away all the money, time they invested in this game. I would love to see... I don't know how feasible this is, but he speaks of multiplayer. I would love to just have, like, two or three people in the same world.
Dude, the Switch... Like, remember how complicated it was to do four swords on the GameCube with, like, four different GBAs?
Yeah.
The Switch... is the new four swords.
What does that mean?
That means that you can... The Switch is so accessible
now. The Switch
now?
Is the new four swords.
Yes, you heard me.
I don't want to bring anyone down, but that's my job. That's why you invite me here.
Shut up, idiot.
It's true.
But multiplayer on a game as huge as this would be fucking impossible.
Well, no, limit it, let's limit it to a smaller area.
What if you could trade food with each other or horses? Like
that, I'll settle for. I want to trade some horses.
Like that seems reasonable. That like you could be able to trade horses and food, but the ability to team up.
Let me dream.
It's too much. Like even with both systems running it, there'd have to be a lot of communication between the two systems. If you got too far away from each other, like both systems would freak out. Like again, prove me wrong, Nintendo. Like, you want to make a multiplayer Four Swords Breath of the Wild, you do it. I don't think you can.
So,
I think your dreams are stupid.
Another thing I thought of, Kevin, is maybe you won't shit on this. Is
you know he will. Come on.
I mean,
hi, this is Kevin. Keith, have you met Kevin?
The Nintendo Switch is a handheld, right? Like, it is. It's also a home console, but it's a handheld. I wonder if they might embrace like a 2 Zelda approach where we get kind of more of the handheld 2D style Zelda game along with, you know, a big Zelda game like this.
That'd be cool.
You know, like I would love like a smaller
Link to the World, Link Between Worlds,
like another a smaller team working on, you know, Link Between Worlds sequel. Or
I mean, hell, the GBA games that Capcom made back in
Minish Cap
2000s.
Yes, Minish Cap, Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons. So right. I just played Minish Cap, and then I played Oracle of Seasons. I like those games a lot.
I like those games a lot too. Make them.
I would love another game like that.
I love the Minish Cap.
Make them and make it so you can find ingredients and shit in that little 2D Zelda that you can port over into Breath of the Wild.
Oh my god. Or like fucking boomerang swords.
Or like 300 horses at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like all in a ball and you ride on top of the like the top horse. Yeah. Like how about a horse mech? Like a bunch of horses just tied together to make a giant robot.
Oh my god.
But it's all horses.
This just sounds like Wild West Power Rangers at this point.
That sounds awful to you?
No, yeah, it sounds like the best thing ever. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Any final thoughts on Breath of the Wild, B-Town's question?
B-Town's question I liked a lot. B-Town, I'm not sorry I shit on you, but I love you.
B-Town, pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it's nice to hear your email.
Yeah, maybe you should email more, asshole.
You email more, dick face.
You could call.
Dick, but yeah, we can take a call.
Yeah, come on. We don't live that far away.
Yeah. If you call me right now, shown up I don't know how you'd be listening right now, but if you call me right now.
All right, enough on B-Town. Kevin, what do you think of the Switch console itself?
All right, I'm gonna give the Switch my final score of, okay, don't buy it yet.
Wow, what a reductive thing to say.
Yeah, right after we're talking about how good Zelda is.
You said there are exactly 1.5 good games for it.
It's true.
Snipperclips is a fully good game.
Right.
Like,
if Nintendo makes a good system, and I think, for the record, the Switch has the potential to be a good system, because I just like it. Like, I like the simple UI for picking the game.
Yeah, the interface is really nice.
It's similar to PS4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even simpler than PS4.
Nice.
I thought the controllers would be weird. They aren't. They're
even, even with how small they are. They, like, have a good weight to them. Like, it's not, again, I have mentioned to you guys, I have small hands, so this doesn't really bother me. Yeah. But you're right.
I have carpal tunnel syndrome, and like I get hand cramps like on like most controllers. But after an hour and a half of playing the Switch, I was fine. Like,
yeah,
no cramping or anything. So
yeah,
it looks weird, but like it handles nice. I'm sure it'll feel a little more natural to reach down to the other lower buttons with my left thumb.
Yeah, you get the hang of that eventually.
Like, I kind of had to cross my hands over a few times to switch weapons, but that's just like learning a new controller. Yeah.
Right.
I think I said way, way back when we were talking about the Switch, when it was just a rumor, that like all I wanted was a normal ass controller, and the Switch controller is the closest I think you can get to a normal ass controller.
So I have the Pro Controller. You don't have a Pro Controller, right? So I impulse bought a Pro Controller on launch day. I walked in and I was like, I know I need a case for it because I'm going to be carrying it around everywhere. And I was like, I was either going to buy Bomberman or get a new controller. And I bought the controller.
Smart.
It was expensive, but I also know now they're like really hard to come by, I guess.
Yeah.
Or they're getting hard to come
by. They are. I mean, I think the good thing about the Pro Controller is you can just have the Joy-Cons on your Switch,
mm-hmm,
and you stick it in the dock, and then you can pull it out of the dock and play immediately,
yep,
versus playing the like juggling of, oh, my Joy-Cons are on my Joy-Con grip now, or now I need to take them off to go into handheld mode. And I mean, this is not a complaint. I'm just saying,
yeah.
That makes it like the transition seamless, whereas, mm-hmm, it's not necessarily seamless if you're juggling the Joy-Cons.
That's a good point. And so the controller itself, though, like it's a standard now standard Pro Controller.
Yeah,
well, it's obviously a little different than Microsoft. It's a little different than PS4's.
Yeah.
But I like it a lot. The trigger buttons are now like, you know how the PS4 and Xbone like revamped their triggers, so it didn't feel like a button. It felt like more like a trigger.
Yeah.
This has it's not as triggery, but it still has a good feel to it. It's just it handles well. The Pro Controller itself handles really well.
I think this all shows that Nintendo is listening to their fans, and that's kind of what I wanted to see from them.
Yeah.
As far as this console,
they're listening to their fans, but keeping their mission statement.
There's no mistaking that this is a Nintendo console.
Like, yes, exactly.
Like they didn't sacrifice their brand for this one. one thing I need to see, like, leading up to Christmas is, like what else you got? Like, yeah.
Mario?
Well,
that's going to be awesome.
So, or third parties, even. Like.
So they just, sorry to cut you off, they just had their Nindies showcase, Nindies. Which is, like, cringeworthy. A little bit, but
that's so patronizing.
It is. It was like
patronizing.
Hey, yeah, Mindy. It was 17 minutes of like all like kind of the independent developed games that are coming to the Switch in the next year. Like
exclusive that. Or no?
But
I mean,
most,
either way,
most cool. are new, mm-hmm. not necessarily exclusive. Some
okay.
are like SteamWorld Dig 2 is an exclusive.
Got it.
I can't think of other examples. I guess my larger point is that they, for the first time, are reaching out to like indie games and saying, you know, we want to be a place for you guys to, we want it to be easy to develop for us. We want you to come over so you can fill out that lineup, because we're not going to get the AAA games that won't necessarily want to scale their game down to. Mm-hmm.
That's a smart decision.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Seriously.
So they
with Steam being so popular and their indie game like
so
backing?
Everything I've read suggests that the Switch is like the easiest Nintendo console to develop for since, you know, forever.
Wow.
I wonder awesome. How that'll mesh with Nintendo's like normally very rigorous like certification process.
Yeah.
Because like it may be easy to develop for, but I would hate to see just like a glut of shovelware games on the system. I think if they do it right, like they'll be like, hey, the door's open, but let's see what you got before you come in.
Right, yeah. Right.
I think that's probably what we're going to see, which is all good news. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see indie games on the Switch. Maybe even mine.
Yay!
That would be awesome.
That'd be sweet.
But I don't think it'll be that open because I am tiny. I'm the smallest version of what a video game developer is.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go down to half a person.
Yeah, well, I hope we do see your game on the console, but we haven't really talked about the portability of it. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
I can't wait for, like, one of you guys to go on vacation because you can just take the Switch with you.
Yeah.
So Nintendo has really found the workaround for the mooch friend, because there's no reason for you guys ever to be without your Switch.
I said, I'm looking forward to going on trips. I'm looking forward to being on an airplane to be like, look who's playing fucking Zelda.
I mean, they know what it is. They have an airplane mode. Like, you go into settings and there's airplane mode and you click on it like a cell phone. Yep. And it's like, all right, here we go.
Well, you think of all the people in like games media that are going to PAX East.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, literally, yeah, the planes will just from San Francisco to Boston. Like, everyone's going to have a Switch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to PAX East. I'll just count how many Switches I see.
Nice.
Yeah, please. Maybe
please
you could
do.
Just steal one.
Ooh.
Wow.
Or be like, you know,
hey, can I borrow
know.
This and then never give it back?
Never give it back.
And then just buy a toaster on your own.
Maybe I could be like, Reggie fees me. Give me a friggin' Switch, please. And they'll be like,
Reggie's gonna be there?
Oh, no, he's not.
Oh, man. I'm not going.
I don't know if Nintendo's
the Switch
going
is gonna be there.
Switch
though.
Is gonna be there?
Yeah, yeah, I heard that too.
So maybe Reggie will be
maybe
there.
Maybe I'll win one in a beauty contest.
Holy shit. What do we need to do? Like, do you need to shave your beard?
No, that's false.
Well, was this?
We need to grow my beard.
We need to grow. Hurry. Hurry up.
For some reason, I thought this was like Miss Congeniality.
Oh. And we
but
like
Miss Congeniality meets Ladybugs, where we're putting a male in a female competition, mm-hmm, thinking mm-hmm. it gives us some sort of advantage, when in actuality, it's a disadvantage.
Wow.
I've not with
been
that.
Disadvantaged being male before.
Not with that
Happy
attitude.
Women's
Happy Women's Day. Not with
in
that attitude.
In a beauty contest that only women are supposed to enter, you would be, that's probably not your place
probably
to succeed.
Not. No.
That's okay.
Watch Ladybugs.
All right. Ladybugs.
You learn a lesson
is Ladybugs
there.
Ladybugs a thing?
Ladybugs is a movie where Rodney Dangerfield and it's like Jonathan Landis, both deceased, R.I.P.
Why don't you have a Ladybugs poster up in your man cave?
Because it's a shitty movie, Kevin. This the Landis guy, they dress him up like a girl.
Okay.
So he can play soccer and be better than everyone. And then he kind of learns.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's a weird movie that you wouldn't see today.
Doesn't translate
well. But back
well.
In like the late 80s, early 90s, this was a movie you showed your kids to teach them what lesson, I don't know.
Gender.
You are one gender, they are the other. Nothing else.
There are no other genders.
There are no other genders.
Here are the genders. Coke, Pepsi.
Get this fucking Coke Zero and Crystal Pepsi out of here.
Get this RC Cola out of here.
So we're not shaving your beard?
No, I'm going to win the beauty pageant based on my talent of guessing people's weight.
I mean, I've never been in a beauty pageant, so that sounds right.
7 pounds.
Wow.
Steve.
That's pretty good.
That's the weight of his brain.
So.
That got dark. Last thing I want to do on this podcast.
Sell us the best.
I want to tell a story.
Long story short, I had 4 Switches pre-ordered.
Of course
well,
you did.
three Switches pre-ordered. Wait. 1 Switch I had to get day of because Amazon fucked me.
This story is the best.
Well, no, it's a different story.
Oh, what?
Anyway, I sold one to Weber's friend for the amount I paid for it. So we helped out Weber's friend.
Nice.
So that's 3 Switches. Then I had 1 Switch.
Isn't Weber's friend one of us?
No, it's like he's a
love you.
He's like a para professional or something. I don't know. I think he's training to be a teacher.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, stop it. Point is that I had a 4th Switch at Walmart pre-ordered that I didn't pick up. And then my brother decided that he wanted a Switch. So then I said, fine, I'll go pick this one up and I'll mail it to you.
You had $1,200 worth of Switch just like lying around?
Well, when you say it like that...
The answer's still yes. Yeah, okay.
Well, I didn't pay for them until I picked them up.
Right.
So I only paid for them when I knew someone else wanted them and was going to give me money for them. So they've all paid me for those Switches. Anyway, I had to bring it to the mailbox, the post office today.
Right.
And I was planning on using one of those flat rate shipping boxes. But the Switch is this really long box, thin but long, didn't really fit in them. So then I go up, guy, tell me how to ship this. And he's like, well, you're gonna have to use this box, but you need to buy all this like bubble wrap because there's all this empty space in this box. And I'm like, fuck that, sir, fuck that. So I take the box out in my car and I just like go around my car like, what can I stick in this fucking box to make it so I don't have to spend the $2 on bubble wrap so this Switch doesn't get fucked up in the mail. So then,
this is the most Keith Sheffer story ever.
So thankfully, I had a couple of like plastic bags, some stray pieces of paper. I'd even brought some Amazon packaging in case this was the scenario. So I stick all the trash in this box, and it still isn't enough. So I'm like, fuck, what do? I don't want to spend the $2. And then I realize, what do I have in my trunk but a blow-up boxing glove that I found on the side of the road 3 years ago.
Wow.
Better put your mouth on it.
Put my mouth on that shit. Blew it up, and it like was perfect. The Switch wasn't moving anywhere. But the point of this story is that I've never been closer to believing that everything happens for a reason.
That is the most perfectly Keith story I've ever heard. I'm so proud of you, because who has $2 to spend?
Not this guy.
Not a guy.
$1,200 of Switches.
Anyway, why don't you plug shit?
I plugged
my mouth on that.
I love you.
Hey, my name's Kevin Cole. I tweet on the Twitter. You can look at me at Real Kevin Cole on Twitter. I'm making a video game. It's called HackRL. Sorry, it's called Hack. And you can look at that on Twitter. It's at Hack, HackRL for roguelike. And that's Kevin. Also, I think Steve's cool.
Oh, thanks. My name's Steve. You can find my photo work at stevesheridanphoto.com. You can check me out on Facebook at Steve Sheridan Photography. Any parties, engagements, weddings that you need. Well, Kevin was going to say something.
No, I was just going to say like a wiener party or a...
Yeah, any of those. I'll take pictures
lemon
of it.
Lemon party.
Yep. Pictures taken. Done.
Party.
Hit me up. I'm not on Twitter, even though I have one, but I don't frequent it a lot.
At B Steve
Photo. Oh, yeah. Send all your complaints to Game Time, bro, at Steve B Steve Photo.
Yeah, please.
Please. I think that's all I got. All
right.
Also, get a Switch and buy Zelda.
Yeah.
You jabrones.
Awesome. Visit GameTimeBro.com, please. Send us some questions, like Brian R. Townsend did. GameTimeBro@GameTimeBro.com. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Check out Steve and Kevin Watch Anime. Yeah.
Steve and Kevin Watch Anime.
It's coming back.
It's coming back.
And Subject to Change.
Yes.
Check them all out. Hopefully, we'll have some more regular podcasts. But I guess all that's left to say is bro off.
Booty-o.